Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the hauntings in their farmhouse were so bad that they grabbed their kids and fled in the middle of the night. They never stayed there ever again.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. And yes, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online if you want to share your real ghost stories with us. And if you want access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, everything ad-free, so you can just listen nonstop with no commercials on our premium channel. We have it for you on Apple Podcasts. Just go right there and you'll find us and sign up and go month to month. You can get a huge discount on a yearly subscription and even try it for 3 days free if you'd like on Apple Podcasts. Or there's patreon.com/realghoststories or the old school way of doing it all the way back 10 years now, really. Ghostpodcast.com. Still up and alive if you want to go that way and get it through your phone or through your web browser. It's all there for you as well. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, you know, in my backyard, I've got the murder she shed. We haven't discussed it for a while. And murder, so when I moved into this shed. House, I have two sheds. One's a nice metal shed. It has electricity. The other one is what we call the murder she shed.
Murder she shed.
And it looks like a murder she shed. It really does.
Yeah.
So this weekend, I'm in the backyard and I'm weed whacking and I'm, you know, cleaning it up and mowing and all that stuff. What did the devil just say? So I'm back there doing that. And so I've got my cats and my dog in the backyard with me. And I see my one cat start to walk in the murder she shed. I'm like, don't go, Izzy. But really, I'm just taking a picture so I can pose. Don't go in there, Izzy. And so I walk over there. Now, I'm not saying this is paranormal, but it felt like it. Everything is knocked down. Like, everything that was in there, like I have a bunch of pots, they're all knocked over. Every single one of them was knocked over. The crutches that are on the shelf that I've never touched are literally hanging half off the shelf.
You're kidding, kitty.
Kitty, kitty, kitty. Did you say you're kitty or you're kidding me?
You're kitty, kitty. What? You're kitty, kitty. Come here. Come here, here, kitty, kitty.
So I was like, I don't believe this is paranormal, but holy shit, it looks like a little tornado happened inside my murder she shed. So
yeah. That's weird.
No raccoons, possums.
Maybe or
Satan.
I don't know. I'm gonna go with raccoons or possums or all of the above. It's kind of their season right now.
And it was just weird to walk in there and go, holy shit!
Like, they're having a party.
Knocked over.
No,
everything. I don't know what they were doing in there, yeah. And I don't know what's in there, but it felt super haunted to me at that moment, even though I'm sure it was a raccoon.
I think they were just kind of hanging out with their friends and trying to jam out a little bit, and, you know, just they were having a party.
Hey, clap your hand.
Dancing to the music. Played by the DJ on the radio.
They're Rod having Stewart. All the fun knocking all the shit over.
Dancing to the music.
Rod Stewart, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
In the murder she shed. In Carol's backyard. Who knows who died there? Only
only crutch is left, but his spirit still haunts Carol's murder she shed.
There you go. You like that?
You know, I saw, this is a totally random side note, but I saw this video of Rod Stewart performing live, and I was like, I honest to God thought he was an old woman. I was looking at it going, who is that woman? Like, she must be an old rocker. And I'm trying to figure out who she was. And then I was like, oh, it's Rod Stewart.
I'd really like to see him before it's too late. I was just walking through Caesar's Palace the other day. There was big banners. Rod Stewart, he's doing like a semi-residency there this summer. And I'm kind of like, maybe I'll go back and do Vegas 2.0 since my last trip was...
You know, the whole show, you're going to be like, Carol's ruined it for me because now I can't see him any other way than as an old lady.
Well, here's the thing. I kind of already do. So I, it's, you know, I don't know. It's, I think a lot of people kind of do.
Okay, not just me.
I'm kidding. No, I love Rod Stewart. Always, it's one of my mom's favorite artists and what I grew up listening to just continued on and just multi-generational, good music. I have no idea about his character, so don't judge me for anything of any of me saying he's a wonderful human being, because I'm not saying that. I just like the music. Let's go to this phone call at 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hello, this is Dewey from Missouri. This story is about my parents right after they got married, and my mom had me. She was 16. They were looking for a house to settle down in with their new family and stuff. And my mom and dad found this house out on the outskirts of town. And my dad told me that the house windows were boarded up and stuff, but they didn't have much of a choice to live somewhere, and said, well, I'll fix it up, whatever. Well, they got a hold of the person that owned the house, and the man said, do you really want to live there? And my dad was like, yeah, we need a place to stay. And they went back out there, and none of the windows were boarded up. And they move into the place. Well, my mom, she had just had me, and she was pregnant with my sister Amber. She's got CDLS, Cornelia Delane syndrome, and she's got to be taken care of, tube fed and all that, and doctors changed. She's like 41 now, but she wasn't expected to live a week or so, but she's 41 now. Defying the odds, you know, much prayer and glorifying God in that little girl. But anyway, my mom, she had a serious bladder infection, pretty much that, and heartburn that whole pregnancy with my little sister. And they was living out there in that house. And my mom first, she said she was in the kitchen looking out the window over the sink, and she said she seen a man out there shaking his fist at her out by the shed. And she told my dad, and my dad ran out there, like, what's going on? This is out in the country. The next house is like a mile down the road. And people don't just show up in the middle of nowhere like that. Well, my dad, you know, put the house on lockdown pretty much and racked it off as my mom just seeing things or whatever. My dad's a total hard ass. Always has been. He's worked every day my whole life. Supportive of all of us. on barely breaking 50 a year, and he's always worked, took care of us, and us kids never went without. But well, my mom, she told me the house terrified everybody. My aunts and uncles, all of them told me that house, there's something seriously wrong with it. But anyway, my mom said she has a bladder infection, right? And she's waking up all hours of the night. She says she hears people arguing in the house. She's terrified. She finally, you know, she's had to run back and forth to the bathroom in the middle of the night. She said finally she had enough when she went to the bathroom and there was people arguing outside the bathroom door. And she said she was so terrified that she started screaming for my dad. My dad came and got her out of the bathroom. Well, eventually she after that, she got a bedpan and she was using it. Just how terrified she was to leave my dad's side at night. Well, my dad and mom had just bought me a crib. I was a little baby, I was a year old maybe. And they put me down to sleep for the night. And, well, that night there was a bad storm, like tornado weather storm, raining, thundering, lightning. My dad said lightning struck that place two or three times that night. There's an old tree out in the front yard, he said, but lightning is repeatedly striking that thing. Pow! But anyway, that's crazy. It's like a true horror story. Everybody told me this about this place. They were all terrified of it. But my dad said that night was special because it was something he never wanted to experience again. But anyway, there was that night a bad storm, lightning, thunder, and tornado warnings. They're living way out on the hill, and it's just flat land out there, so that's not good. But anyway, he said they got to hearing me cry. Mom couldn't sleep. I was crying. My dad gets up, runs to me. He can't find me. I'm not in the crib. I'm actually underneath the crib somehow, crying. He finally flips the crib, pulls me up, turns around to leave the bedroom, and there's a man, he said, was about 6'6", standing in the doorway, leaning on the door facing, smiling at him. And, my dad, he's a hard ass, and he just barged at him. Ran through that dude, got my mom. They grabbed whatever, a coat, whatever, storming outside. They said, we're getting the hell out of here. And they had a minivan, got my sister. She was like a Barbie doll. She was so little. But they got my sister and they go out to the van. It wouldn't start. It's storming. The van won't start. Nothing wrong with it. It just would not start. Then they finally decided to run down the road about a mile away. There was a house. This is way before cell phones and stuff. And it's storming out. My mom, well, Amber wasn't born yet, my bad. But my mom, pregnant, has bladder infection, running in the storm, going down a mile down the road to use the phone. They get there, they get in, call my uncle, I think it was my uncle Art, and he comes to get them that night, and they went and stayed with him that night. Well, they went back to the house, and the house was the electric worked. The van started right up. Everything was fine after that night. but they never did go back to that house. It's like in my mind, I see it like a terrifying Conjuring type show or something. But man, all my aunts and uncles, my dad had 8 brothers and 4 sisters, and everyone that's been out to that house tells me right to this day how crazy that house was. They didn't like staying there. My Uncle Ed told me, this is my mom's brother, Ed, but he told me he couldn't sleep. And it's so strange. It's like a house like that. You'd think you'd want to sleep at night, but my uncle would be so freaked out he couldn't sleep. And he said he'd sit in front of the couch, in between the couch and the coffee table, sit there on the ground looking around at shadows moving around all night in the dark. He said you could see shadow figures and moving around that house at night. And my Uncle Art, he was kind of a warlocky type guy, and my Uncle Pat and them. But he would tease my uncle all the time about the evil eye and everything. It's funny. But when you got 8 uncles and 4 aunts, especially 8 uncles, they terrorize you your whole life. But anyway, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's one story, and I got plenty of other ones, especially about the big house my dad grew up in with his brothers and sisters. That's a whole other thing, but that I've had experiences in there myself. And that's it for now, I guess. Thanks for the show, and been listening to y'all for a long time. It's totally awesome. Thank you, and God bless.
Thanks for sharing your story with us. Thoughts on that?
Creepy shit. It sounds just like a movie.
It does.
Like, it's bad when you leave in the middle of the night and you don't go back. Like, I'm assuming they went back just to get their stuff, but they never spent another night in there again.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah.
And then when you got 8 uncles and 4 aunts and everybody's agreeing on something, that's awesome.
Pretty rare in general, just to like agree on like, did we have ham last night for dinner? No, it was turkey. Like, no, it was ham. It was clearly, it was a ham. Turkey! And like, sometimes those things just don't resolve on the most basic of things. More or less paranormal.
So, I don't know. I think that is some creepy stuff.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, like the way it was set up with it storming and everything like that, and they're mm-hmm. escaping their house with little kids, you know, but that it has to be bad. If you know the place is haunted when you are escaping in the middle of the night.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I can't imagine. I don't know. I don't really want to say that anymore. That I can't imagine, because it's like I've had too many I can't imagines happen in my life where it's like I can't imagine, and so I don't know. Like, but I can't imagine that happening. That would be really bizarre if in the middle of the night you just like so much shit was happening that it was completely haywire.
Isn't that one uncle? I think it was Uncle Art or somebody. He goes,
yeah,
he's kind of warlocky.
Well, yeah, yeah, kind of warlocky.
Anybody who's kind of warlocky.
There is, I said I want to talk about this in some way, shape, or form, and I think this is probably not a bad place to do it. On my other podcast, Hitting Killers with Tony Bruschi, or True Crime Today. There's the case of Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrand. Those are the two mommy bloggers that emaciated their kids and
horrific abuse.
Horrible.
And the kid escaped.
Yeah, and that's how they got caught. But their excuses and what the father was saying, Kevin Frankie was saying, was also just, I'm just trying to find it here. It's not coming from my notes. What was just kind of just utterly crazy, there was a point where he was professing that, I guess on, I don't know if this is too crazy or not, but he was claiming that when they were all together, him and Jody Hildebrandt and Ruby, the kind of the triad of evil here, that there were dishes flying off of the kitchen shelves and into the wall at full speed. And then he also claimed he had to try and exorcise the demons out of Ruby and, or out of not Ruby, Jody. And it just got more and more bizarre. But at the end of the day, these two women basically held their children captive, treated them like caged animals, and emaciated them and subjected them to torture. Now, is this something where, was there something paranormal involved here? Was there something really evil at play that would allow someone to do these sort of things to their kids? I don't know. Or is it just flat out extreme mental illness that went undiagnosed for many, many years?
I'm going with extreme mental illness. Actually, I think this is more complicated than that. Because I think the one woman was really controlling, and the other woman's just kind of following her in a cultish sort of way.
It would take us about 5 hours to really break down the whole story. But yeah, there's many, many, many more layers to it. But yeah.
But now here's a whole new one. Could they have been dealing with paranormal activity?
Well, I mean, the weird thing is Kevin is, I don't want to say he's a good guy or anything like that, because I think he's a horrible human being, basically abandoning his kids and just saying, okay, yeah, you go do whatever you want with your kids, or our kids. Over there with this woman that I think is kind of crazy. And I'm just going to not do anything to try and, keep them safe.
Help them. Yeah.
I think that's pretty shitty. But it is a weird thing to make that sort of statement, that plates were flying off of the shelves and paranormal things like that were happening in like a legal document.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they lived in a haunted house.
The only thing I can say is, you know, we've heard so many stories of energy, you know, like, my God, I can't imagine the energy in that house being remotely good. I mean, just, it's got to have been like hellish, you know, in that sort of tense, weird, messed up, mentally ill environment that just kept festering into negativity. So, you know, if we're going to go on that basis and go, could that create some sort of energy or something that, you know, interact? I don't know. It's not, I think, off of the questions of, based on the stories that we've had on something like that in the past, but I don't know. It's one of those where I'm on the news show and I'm like, this sounds pretty crazy. But at the same point, you stop and think about it a little bit and you go, I don't know what, what exactly was going on in that house that could have, because it was pretty fucking dark shit that was happening.
Yeah. And that I think I read somewhere where he thought that she was possessed, that Jody.
Yeah. And he became the like resident exorcist.
Oh, here, I just found something.
Yeah.
According to Kevin, Jody believed she was tormented by shadow figures.
Mm-hmm.
Jody admitted to Ruby that she was possessed, describing herself as a hot mess. Well, if I was possessed, I think I'd be describing myself as a little bit more than a hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
But strange occurrences intensified when Kevin visited Jody's home in 2021. He witnessed unexplainable phenomena, including crashes in the basement and plates flying off the kitchen walls.
Saying, I can't explain some of the stuff that happened while we were there, he said, describing actually seeing plates fly off the shelves in the kitchen and, quote, full speed smashing on the wall, as well as hearing crashing sounds from the basement while they were upstairs. Kevin said that he and his wife enlisted the aid of a bishop to help them cast the demons out and fight away evil spirits around Jody in her home, saying that this happened for hours every night, but when that didn't seem to be helping, the idea suddenly for Jody to move into the Frankie's house came up. Almost immediately, Kevin said that Jody and his wife started sharing a bed, and then Ruby started having trances and stuff. He said that by September, his wife was talking about going to heaven to see God and Jesus, and he'd labeled himself resident exorcist, having to perform blessings on Jody each night when she would go into trances. At what point are you saying, maybe this isn't the relationship for me?
And at what point are you saying, let's feed the children?
Yes.
You know, let's take the duct tape off the kids.
Let's stop living over here.
Maybe the house was haunted. Yeah. Maybe. That doesn't explain extreme child abuse.
Living in crazy land for a little while. He said the women would sometimes lock themselves in a room for 4 or 5 hours. And upon coming out, Ruby would tell him about the visions she'd had, telling him, we have work to do from God. Okay, this is not paranormal at all. These are very mentally ill people.
Now, the dishes and that stuff.
The dishes are kind of interesting. If that happened, I'm kind of questioning that. For Kevin, it all became too much. Well, here's my thought on that. And this is the interesting thing of memory and suggestion. And that was one of the early things that seemed to happen in this. I'm going to guess that Ruby and Jody said this happened to Kevin. He really didn't see it quite happen. But they were both just so shocked and scared by all this. And they had evidence of it. And the suggestion, the power of that suggestion, ended up with him saying to whoever he quoted that to was, and we saw this happen. And this happened this one night because he was very close to it happening. And if you do that enough and you keep repeating that story enough, you're going to believe you saw it happen. That's how our brains work. It is. It's just, it is how that works. And that's how you can get false memories.
If you're casting demons out of this woman's home,
that's a little more. Yeah.
If you think she might be possessed, dishes are flying off the wall. Why the hell would you let your kids stay?
Why are you sitting there? Like, exactly. And so I'm like, hey, kids, we got the demons out. Who wants Papa Murphy's? Oh, you know, we're not going to get Pizza Hut. That's too much. No, we don't want to get that. We got to bake it ourselves. We're going to save $5.
So
okay. You want that? Okay. And we got the demons out, though. Okay. I'm not disparaging as Papa Murphy's. I actually like Papa Murphy's. But that's probably what went on in that house.
Makes me sick.
At the time of his arrest, the couple had been living a separate life for a year. Kevin revealing he'd not seen his children for longer than that, describing Jody as a cult leader. Kevin told authorities, I was completely cut out. He told authorities that while he wasn't able to see his children, he spent that year trying to win that right back by seeking Jody's approval with continued connections classrooms work under her. That was kind of her cult group. So he really just kind of, it's brainwashing. It's really creepy just how deep he went into it. He said, I knew the only way into my house was to get Jody's approval, basically to see his kids. He said, it felt like an impossible task. He said he withdrew, becoming more isolated and started to question his sanity during that year apart. You certainly should have questioned your sanity very early on and said, what legal maneuvers do I have here to get to my kids? Because, that's freaking nuts.
But, I mean, they were still married. He would have still had legal custody of them.
Yes, he did. There was no there's no legal separation agreement or anything like that.
But so, yeah. I don't.
Anyway, if you like true crime and that sort of stuff, check it out. Other channel, Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi or True Crime Today. Back to more ghost stories on our next episode. It's kind of going off the rails.
That's a
here.
Ghost story.
It's been fun. It's been a little while, but yeah, it was ghostly. You're right. You're right. It was. All right. If you want to access all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, Apple Podcast or premium channel there, patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.